Today's shiur is Masech de Chagiga Daf Chof Aleph. We will begin on Daf Chof Amud Beis at the beginning of the new parak. As we already learned in the previous Mishnah at the end of the previous parak, Chazal instituted certain requirements to protect Tahara, to protect that person remain Tahar, specifically when one is eating or going to be working with Truma or with Kodesh. Our Mishnah now begins to teach us that Chayim b'Kodesh b'Truma, there are certain stringencies that were put in place by Kodesh that were not put in place by Truma. And the Mishnah will list 11 such halachas where Truma, where Kodesh is more chamer, is more stringent than Truma. The first example is Shemat Bilim Kalim Batar Kalim Truma. When one is Toivel, a Kali, for Truma, he could put one vessel into another vessel. However, when one is immersing Kalim to be able to use them for Kodesh, such is not permitted, and we will Mitzvah learn in the Gemara why. Another halacha. Acharayim v'toich u'beis ha-tzvita v'truma. The outside, the inside, and the beis ha-tzvita. We'll explain this in Mitzvah Shem when we learn the Gemara, what the beis ha-tzvita is, are considered separate vessels as far as truma, and therefore, if one of them becomes tamei, it doesn't affect the tumah tahara status of the other parts. Avloi b'kodesh. By kodesh, if one of these parts of the vessel becomes tamei, it affects the entire keli. The entire keli is considered tamei. Next halacha is hanoises hamedris, noises hatruma, avloyes hakodesh. Two words of introduction. One is, as we've explained, there is something known as tumas medris. Tumas medris is that by certain people who are tamei, azov, azova, nidav, if they sit or they stand on something that is made for sitting or standing on, that item becomes tuma medris. It actually is a very high level of tuma. It's an avatuma. An example of a tuma medris, which is actually the example that the Gemara uses, is a shoe. A shoe is something people stand on. A shoe could be makabel tuma medris. Another word of introduction. A kli cheres, an earthenware vessel, has a chumra and a kula in Hilchus Tuma. The chumra is that it cannot be immersed in a mikveh. There is no tahara in a mikveh for kli cheres. On the other hand, it has a kula. As we know, all kalim, other types of kalim, are known in halacha as kli shetef, kalim that can be washed. The reason they have that name is because they can be immersed in a mikveh, so that's how they're called kli shetef. So other kalim can become tamei both from the interior and from the exterior. If tuma touches the exterior of any keli, that keli becomes tamei. However, bekli cheres does not become tamei migaboy. It does not become tamei from its exterior. It only becomes tamei from its interior. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where one is carrying something that has on it a tumas medris. For example, he's carrying a shoe, and he's also carrying an earthenware vessel. So even if this shoe were to touch the earthenware basket, in this earthenware basket there is truma food. If it touches the exterior of that earthenware basket, it would not make it tamei. Therefore, Chazal said, there's no reason by truma we should disallow one to carry both a tamei medris, an item that's tamei medris, and an earthenware vessel. Obviously, if it were not an earthenware vessel, if it was a kli shetef, a different material, where the halacha is, as we just said, it can become tamei from the exterior. There, even if one is carrying a vessel that has in it truma, certainly one cannot carry something that has on it a tumas medris and this non-earthenware vessel. But by an earthenware vessel, given that it can't become tamei from its exterior, Chazal, by truma, allowed us to carry it together. Avaloi b'kodesh, but not by Kodesh. By Kodesh, the halacha remains that one cannot carry even an earthenware vessel and a tumah medris at the same time. And as we will learn in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, because it was a Maaseh Shehayu, there was a situation where something of Tumah Medrash fell into a earthenware vessel and made the Kodesh inside the vessel Tumah. The next Halacha, Big Day Oichle Truma Medrash L'Kodesh. But this is actually a din that we learned in the previous Mishnah, that we know that the garments of Tameim, as we just said, are considered, become Tamei. And the higher level you are in trying to make a Shmira for Tahara, that a lower level will not be considered an adequate Shmira. So that's why, as we learned in the previous Perek, if somebody is only watching his garments, that they should be tar, they should be able to eat chulin, but tahara, it wouldn't be adequate for truma. And if somebody's watching his garments, that they shouldn't be tamei for truma, it's not adequate for kodesh. And that thing is repeated in our Mishnah. Big day, oichle truma, if somebody's watching his garments, that they shouldn't become tamei for truma, it's not adequate midrash, it's still considered tamei, it's not considered enough of a shmirah l'kodesh. Tosfos asks, if our Mishnah is repeating dinim that we already learned in the previous Mishnah, so then why doesn't our Mishnah also repeat the din that we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, that when one eats truma, he has to wash his hands, but when one comes to eat kodesh, he has to be toivel his hands, where he has to immerse his hands. Why is that then omitted from our Mishnah? Answers Tosfos. Truthfully, washing one's hands is adequate to removing the Tumah. So once one washed his hands, which is required by Truma, it's actually even required by Chulin, he is not Tameh. All of the Dinim in our Mishnah are referring to situations where there is some element of Tumah. But the person who washed his hands, there's absolutely no element of truma, and therefore does not have a place in our Mishnah. The Meiri says that actually this din is referred to later in the Mishnah, and we'll point it out when we learn that din. Continues the Mishnah. Loi kamidas ha-kodesh midas ha-truma. We do not treat kodesh and truma the same way as far as hilchas chatzitza. We know that there's not allowed to be chatzitza on one's garment or anything when he immerses it, and the hilchas chatzitza are not the same by truma and by kodesh. Shebe kodesh matir umenagiv umatpil vachka kosher. In kodesh, if one is being metavil, he's immersing a garment, he has to untie the knots, must dry the garment if it is wet, and only then immerse it, and then retie the knots. But by truma, the halach is he could tie the knots and then immerse the garment. So Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah, and there's a machlokes in the Rishonim how to understand this Mishnah, but Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah is that we're more makpid on hilchas chetzitza by truma, by kodesh, than we are by truma. The question is exactly what is the chetzitza when there is a knot here. Some Rishonim, it seems that that's the way Rashi learns, are concerned that the water can't penetrate the knot. But that's a far-fetched concern, and we're only concerned about it by truma, not by kodesh, not by truma. Others say that the concern was that there may be a greasy substance that won't be washed off with the water, and again, it's a far concern, and we're only concerned about it by kodesh and not by truma. The Chsefer Chedusha Biurim makes an interesting observation. He says, our Mishnah, as we said in the introductory remarks to our Mishnah, will mention 11 situations where we're more stringent by Kodesh than we are by Truma. But by none of the stringencies mentioned in the Mishnah, do the Mishnah give introductory words of like Kamidus HaKodesh Midus HaTruma. Of course, all the cases of our Mishnah reflect situations where Kodesh and Truma are not the same. Why does our Mishnah specifically, by this din, use these introductory remarks of like Kamidus HaKodesh Midus HaTruma? Says the Sefer Chedusha Biurim. Then all the other cases in the Mishnah, where truma is less stringent than kodesh. If one will want to act stringently by truma, he'll be allowed to. Why not, if that's what he wants to do? However, in this situation, says to say for Chedusha Biurim. That Mishnah is teaching us that by Truma, not only don't you have to untie the knots, on the contrary, have them tied when you are immersing the garment. Why? So the answer is because the halacha is that when one immerses a garment or when one immerses a vessel, you're supposed to immerse it whole. So by Kaddish, as we just explained, and we'll discuss it more in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, that there's a concern regarding Chatzitza. That concern outweighed the need to keep the garment whole. But where there is no concern for Chatzitza, such as in the case of Truma, there is a halacha that the garment should be kept whole and is as it is used when one comes to immerse it. Which is a very relevant halacha regarding Tefillas Kelim. We know that, we discussed it the other day, Kelim that are bought from non-Jews have to be toiveled, have to be immersed. The halacha the Chachmas Adam teaches us is that if you have a keli that could be put into, could be separated into two parts, the halacha still is, it should be immersed as whole, because that's the way it's usable. As he points out, that even though when it comes to kashering, the halacha is, we do not have to kasher a keli all in one time. We could do hagala on half a keli at a time. Certainly liban could be done on a keli half at a time. Regarding tefillah, it has to be whole and put into the mikveh in one whole piece. The Shas Tshuvas Michas Yitzchak discusses the shaila, and he says, what will be the halacha if the keli is just too large to be put into the mikveh one time? So he discusses that according to the Noi de Yehuda, even if it's separated into parts, if the intention is to reassemble it, the halacha still looks at it as a whole keli, and perhaps it should be allowed to be getoivled that way in separate parts. But the Michas Yitzchak says that an interesting halacha. He says, as the Chacham Sadam just taught us, the right way of being toivled a keli is by putting it the whole keli in the mikveh in one time. If, because there is no other option, we're putting it into parts, then we have to divide it into all its small parts. We can't just say we're going to divide it into two parts. If it could be divided, it could be separated into more parts. If we're tiveling it in parts, then it has to be into all the various small parts. The next din of the Mishnah. Kalim ha-Nigmarim b'tahara, tzrichim tefillah l'kodesh, avaloy l'truma. As we discussed in the previous year, until a keli is completed, until a keli is completely processed, made, it's not in kabel tuma. So therefore, even when one was constructing a keli, if he was not makbid, that it should not become tamei, doesn't bother us, because it's not royal kabbalah's tuma. However, our Mishnah teaches us that by kodesh, the following concern we have to worry about. Perhaps while one was constructing this keli, given, as we said, he doesn't have to be careful that it shouldn't become tamei, someone who is tamei and his mayonos, any liquids that secrete from his body are tamei. Again, the example being a zava, might have expelled some saliva on this keli. He wasn't paying attention because it's not royal kabbalah's tumah yet. It hasn't been completed. And now that saliva is still moist after the keli is completed and after it's royal kabbalah's tumah. That's why Chazal taught us that all of these kelim for kodesh have to be immersed before they can be used for kodesh. But given, as we can understand, this is a far-fetched concern of avalayla truma, we don't require this by truma. Next case, a keli mitzara mashatoich lekodesh avalayla truma. If we have various food items in one basket, so as far as truma is concerned, if the food that's tamei in the basket is a rishon l'tuma, it will make the food next to it a sheni l'tuma, and then it will make that will in turn make the next food a shlishi l'truma. But as we will learn in a moment, that is the highest level of tuma. That's the last level of tuma that is possible by truma, and it will not pass on, not transmit any tuma further. However, kodesh, if there's one piece of tamei food in a basket, that affects that everything in the basket by kodesh will be tamei. The next din, harvi b'kodesh pasul v'ashlishi b'truma. As we've explained, pasul in Hilchus Tumah means that this is the last level of Tumah. It itself is Tameh, but it cannot transmit Tumah further. The word Tameh, on the other hand, means that it's Tameh and it can transmit Tumah further. Says our Mishnah, by Kodesh, Pasul, the last level of Tumah is up to a Revi, by Truma, the last level is Shlishi. By Truma, the Aloch is, Em Nitmas Achas Miyodav, if one of his hands becomes Tameh, Chaverta Tahira, the other hand is still Tahar. But by Kodesh, the Aloch is, Matbul Shneim, he would have to immerse both hands if one hand became Tameh. The Miri says, in answer to the question that we asked earlier, why doesn't our Mishnah mention the halacha that for Kodesh we have to immerse our hands before we eat it? Says the Miri, it is mentioned. This din that our Mishnah is telling us, with Kodesh matbul shteim, is alluding to that din. Shiyad mitames chaver to b'kodesh, one hand makes its other hand tamei with regard to Kodesh. That if one hand is tamei, it could pass the tumah to the other hand. Avloi b'truma, but not by truma. And again, as we said in the previous parak, this is only by tumah derabbanan. By tumah deraisa, there is no such concept that only the hands are tamei and not the rest of the body. If one is tamei mideraisa, his entire body is tamei, and if he's not tamei, he's not tamei. Continues the Mishnah. Oichlan neguvim b'yudayim misavus b'truma, avloi b'kodesh. As we have said many times, in order for food to become tamei, they first have to be mukshel kabel tumah. They have to be made susceptible to mekabel tumah, and that is, as we learned, by making them wet with one's intention of making those foods wet. So if one's hands are tamei, but he touches truma food that had never become susceptible to tumah, then that food will not become tamei, because it's not able to become tamei. However, by Kodesh food can become susceptible to Tumah, even if it was never exposed to moisture, because as we will learn in the Gemara, Chibas HaKodesh Machshartam. The fact that that Kodesh in its own is enough to make foods susceptible to Tumah, and therefore if one's hands are Tameh, he may not touch that food, because he will transmit Tumah to that Kodesh food. And the 11th difference between Kodesh and Truma is Ha'oinen Mechusa Kippurim Tzrich and Tefillah L'Kodesh Avloi L'Truma. Ha'oinen is one who lost a close relative for whom he has to act in Avelis. Until the Kfura, one is considered an Oinen. A Mechusa Kippurim is a person, we'll use a Zov as an example, who has to wait the amount of days the Torah required, there's 7 days. Then he goes to the mikveh. The day he goes to the mikveh is called a tful yoyim. A tful yoyim still requires harav shemesh. After harav shemesh, he may eat truma. However, he may not eat kachim, he may not eat kabonis, until he brings the kabonis the Torah requires. Teaches us the Mishnah that after the person brought these kabonis, or after the person is no longer an oinen, that even though while one is an oinen, he may not eat even truma or kachim, in order for an oinen to be able to eat kachim, in order for somebody who had to bring kabonis and did bring the kabonis to be able to eat kachim, he has to go to the mikveh again. And as the Turi Evan explains, the reason being, since there is no specific time when the kabonis will be brought, of course they should be brought as early as possible, but there is no specific time when they will necessarily be brought. And similarly, there is no specific time when the kvura will actually take place. Therefore, Chazal required another tefillah after one is no longer an oinen and after one is no longer mechusa kippurim. Tosfos tells us that even though we're saying that an oinen and mechusa kippurim require tefillah to be able to catch him, Harav Shemesh will not be required, and they're just required to go to the mikveh, and then it's enough. Similarly, Tosfos teaches us that this halacha, that they're not allowed to eat kachim until they go to the mikveh, is only regarding eating kachim. However, regarding touching kachim will be permissible even after, even if they have not yet gone to the mikvah. Tosfos also discusses that every einan should certainly be considered a person who cannot eat kabbonis until they go to the mikvah, because as we learned in the previous year, Chazal taught us that one of the things that are a disqualification by Tumas Hesachadas. And while one is Rachmanel Tzlan and Einan, he certainly has Hesach Hadas. His mind is preoccupied with his mace, not with anything else. So he has Hesach Hadas. So certainly he becomes Tameh and requires Tahara. Says Tosfos a very big chiddush, the name of Elchanan. He says Hesach Hadas is only possible where he could have paid attention, and instead of paying attention, he was Mesiach Das. But a person who couldn't pay attention, for example, this person, Rahman Tzlan, who's an Oinen, there is no concept of Hesach Hadas. And actually, this Rabbi Chanan that Tosfos is quoting is the same Rabbi Chanan that teaches us a halacha regarding Hilchos Tefillin. The Gemara says regarding Hilchos Tefillin that one is not supposed to wear tefillin while he's sleeping, because Shem Yafich Behen, he may pass wind while he's sleeping. So the question that the Rishonim ask is, why are we concerned of Shem Yafich Behen? There's Hesach Hadas where one is sleeping, so that should be the reason where one should not be allowed to wear tefillin while he's sleeping. The answer is, that's not called Hesach Hadas, because Hesach Hadas is only when one could put Das and doesn't. When one is sleeping, he certainly can't give his Das to the tefillin, and therefore Hesach Hadas is not applicable. So the first thing that we learned in our Mishnah was that Ein Matbil and Keli B'Tayr Keli B'Kaydish, but not by Truma. Says the Gemara, B'Kaydish by Tamaloi. Why is the halacha that we're not allowed to do this by Kaydish? We're not allowed to immerse one Keli into another Keli. Amrav Eila, Amnei Shekveda Shekeli Chaitzitz. One Keli resting another Keli doesn't allow the water to come through, and therefore it becomes a Chatzitza. Amr Avela, asked the Gemara, Vadma say from Shemchatzitza, if the last case of our Mishnah teaches us the case of Chatzitza, the case that we discussed where one has to untie the gnats by Kodesh on the garment before he immerses it, isn't that a proof that Reisha Lab Shemchatzitza, that this case is not because of Chatzitza? The Mishnah wouldn't teach us two examples of Chatzitza. Because as we learned, the Ketani Sefer, Loi committed a Kodesh mitzvah Truma. Truma and Kodesh are not the same. Shema Kodesh matter, or menagiv a matter of akka Kodesh. When Kodesh one has to untie the knots, dry it, immerse the garment, and then retie the knots. Or betruma mekodesh of akka matbel. So we already have an example of Chatzitza mentioned in the Mishnah. So if this is an example of Chatzitza, why does our Mishnah say the same thing twice? Answers the Gemara, Reish of a Sefer Mishum Chatzitza. Both cases reflect examples of Chatzitza. The Tzricha, however, they both have to be mentioned. The Ashmin and Reisha, if we only spoke of the case of the Reisha, haven't been a Hainatam de Lakaydish Loi. This is the reason why we can't immerse one vessel in another vessel by Kaydish. Mishum Shukhaydish or Kli Deika. As we just explained, there's a concern that the upper Kaili puts its weight, the pressure on the lower keli, and doesn't allow the water to go there. Avil Sefer, the Lekka Kvedish Akeli, where there is no concern of Kvedish Akeli. Eimel Kvedish Nami Loiva Chatzitza. For Kvedish it should also not be considered Chatzitza. Viashmin and Sefer, if we only had the example of the Sefer, Habmina Hainu Tamdul Kvedish Loi, the reason by Kvedish one has to untie the knots. Mishum, the Kitra B'mayik Ahudik Mehedik, a knot becomes tight in water, and therefore it will become a chatzitza. Aval reisha, but in the case of the reisha, where we have one keli and another keli, the maya akfu makfile, where the water just float, the water causes one vessel to float over the other vessel, perhaps that's certainly not a case of chatzitza, and even by kodesh, there should be no concern in such a situation. That's why tzricha, both cases had to be mentioned, but both cases reflect a din of chatzitza. Says the Gemara, and this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, Rav Ila Latamei, Rav Ila is going according to Shita, The Amrav Ila, Amrav Chanin Papa, Esamal Shonokan. That even though when we learned in the Mishnah, we explained there were 11 cases spoken about in the Mishnah, says Rav Ila, there are only 10 categories reflected. So the question is, if there's 11, why is it called 10? The answer is, because two of the dinim, albeit, are separate dinim, but are really one category. They both reflect a case of chatzitza. So we have 11 cases reflecting 10 dinim. So we see that the case of chatzitza is mentioned twice. However, Rav Ila makes another comment regarding these cases of our Mishnah, and as we just said, according to Rav Ila, it's really just 10 categories. Chomis Rishonis, the first 5 cases apply Bein L'Kodesh, both the Kodesh, and Bein L'Chulin Shanas L'Taras HaKodesh. And the Chulin that were made, Al-Taras HaKodesh, we discussed yesterday, certain people traded the Chulin even as if they were Kodesh. However, Achronis, the last 5 cases with the, as we will learn in a moment, the concern is even less serious. They're only treated that way by Kodesh, but not Avloy L'Chul N'Shanas L'Taras HaKodesh. That Chumah doesn't apply by Chul N'Shanas L'Taras HaKodesh. My Tama, what's the difference between the first 5 cases and the second 5 cases? Chomish Kameisa, the first 5 cases, the Islat Roro, the Tumah Midaraisa, where there's a concern of Tumah Midaraisa. That's why Gozer Berimbonon, Chazal V'Gozer, Bein L'Kodesh, Bein L'Chul N'Shanas L'Taras HaKodesh, in both cases. And as Rashi explains, the first stringency, which we're discussing now, about putting one vessel in another vessel, which is a concern of chatzitza. Chatzitza is based in the Torah. The next concern about if one part of a keli becomes tamei, the entire keli becomes tamei by kodesh, not by truma, is also based on a biblical tuma, because the halacha is that tumah is transmitted to an entire vessel, as we've discussed so many times, midaraisa. The next case, when somebody's not allowed to carry a midras and a kodesh at the same time, also involves a tumah daraisa, because tumas midras is a tumas daraisa. The next halacha, that the garments of some are considered midras. Garments that are considered, that are washed for truma, are medris for kodesh. Again, as we said, tumas medris is a daraisa. And the next cases that we spoke about, that a vessel that was completed with tahara, but might have become tamei when a saliva of a zav, a nida, was on it and was still moist after it was completed. Again, that saliva's tumah is a tumah daraisa. So that's why in all these cases, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, we are more machmer. The last cases, besraisa, the last group of cases, the less latrura the tumah midaraisa, where there are no concern of the tumah midaraisa, so the concern is a lesser concern. That's why gozber rabbanim l'kodesh, chazal were only gozber by kodesh. However, l'chul and shanasu al taras l'kodesh, which is a lower level of concern, like gozber rabbanim. Tosfos, the Rebbeinu Chananel has a different approach in explaining this Gemara. He says the first 5 cases, there's already an existing tumah in place. So since there's an existing tumah in place, Chazal were more machmer. In the last cases of the Mishnah, there is no tumah at all in existence. It's only a situation where tumah may come, that's why Chazal were more makel. But again, we learned the Gemara like Rashi. The Turi Evan asks that even though, as the Gemara explained, according to Rav Ela, the Mishnah had to give us 2 examples of chatzitza, because each one has its own unique characteristics, why weren't these 2 dinim taught next to each other, given that they're both examples of the same concept of chatzitza? So, most achronim answer that the Mishnayis were taught by Rebbe, and Rebbe was mesadded the Mishnayis. Rebbe set up the Mishnayos as he was learning the halachas, and these halachas were quoted then in the order that they were learned, even though they don't represent necessarily a specific order. Perhaps we'll see another teretz later. When we speak about this halacha of kvedish or kli chaitzitz, it obviously has relevance to halacha whenever we want to be toivel ourselves, for when we are concerned about chatzitza, or we're toiveling a keli, a vessel. We have to be worried about chatzitza. So it's interesting to note that the Sfas Emes says la halacha, that if one takes a keli and he puts it in, that he has to immerse, and he puts it into the mikvah, and he only puts in the second keli into the first keli after the first keli is already in the mikvah, the concern that Rav Ela expressed of kvedish a keli chaitzitz will not be there. That's one din of the Sfas Emes. And the halacha taka is that if one is immersing kalim, what should he be doing? So the best thing that the Paiskim say is either that he should hold the kalim in his hand, but not hold it too tight, and therefore the water could seep between his hand and the kalim, and all of the kalim will then be immersed in the mikvah. Or one should put it into a basket. But again, we have the concern there of Ela expressed here, that we have to be concerned that when he put it on a basket, that maybe there will be pressure from the keli on the basket, and that will be chatzitza. So what one should do is, he should move around in the basket the keli that he wants to tovel, and like that it will be certain that the water will cover the entire keli that needs to be immersed. Another thing that the Taz says, that if one is being tovel a keli by holding it in his hand, and he has to hold it tight, he doesn't want it to drop, to lose it, or it should break, he should first put his hands in the mikvah water, get his hands wet with mikvah water, and only afterwards immerse the keli into the mikvah. This is also the basis. The Paiskim discuss the following shaila. Baruch Shem, nowadays we have mikvahs that are constructed for people who are handicapped, but in olden times, these mikvahs really weren't there. And if a woman had to go to the mikvah, she was handicapped, she could not walk in, climb into the mikvah. The question is, could one lay her on a sheet and then put the woman on the sheet into the mikvah? And based on what we're learning now in the Gemara, it's a real concern, because we have a concern of kveda shekeli, the person's pressure on that sheet or on that blanket will serve as a chatzitza and not allow the water to completely cover her. And in fact, this is also the reason why one's not supposed to wear clothing when he goes to the mikvah, because again, it serves as a chatzitza. And even though, as the Mechas Yitzchak points out, the Shulchan Aruch does say that if one's clothing are loose-fitting, it would not necessarily be a chatzitza. However, the Mechas Yitzchak himself says, we don't know exactly what is the shear that is considered loose-fitting. The Givas Pinchas from the Hafla asks the following question. We learned the Masechta Sukkah that if one is taking the Dalan Minim, and when he takes the hadassim or the aravis, some leaves, and he puts it into the holder, into the lulav holder, perhaps some leaves may fall off. Why are those detached leaves not considered a chatzitza between the person hand and the dalam minim? So the Gemara says, because min b'minah in the chaitzitz, since they're the same type, the hadassim leaves, the rava leaves, and the aravis are the same branches, are the same type, that's why it doesn't create a chatzitza. So ask the Givas Pinchas, if so, why did Chazal, why did Rav Ela just teach us? They were not allowed to put one vessel into the other when we're being toivled them, even if they're cramped together, and it prevents the water from reaching parts of the vessel, it should still not be concerned, because we just said, min b'minoy ein chaitzitz, says to give us Pinchas. There's a fundamental difference between min b'minoy ein chaitzitz and what we require. He says, yes, the halacha is min b'minoy ein chaitzitz, as the Gemara taught us in Masechta the Sukkah. However, Hilchas Tefillah requires that every inch, every drop of the item that we want to immerse, to purify, be touched by the mikvah water. And if there's a chatzitza, even if it's a min b'minoy, that's preventing all of it from being immersed. And therefore, that's not a kosher tefillah. And even though perhaps we have a din of min b'minoy and a chaitzitz, it will still disqualify the tefillah. Rava, however, now will teach us a totally different reason why keli b'toich keli is not an acceptable tefillah by kodesh. Rava says, I don't agree with Rav Ela. because as the Gemara already said, midas sefer have mishum chatzitza. If the sefer represents a situation of chatzitza, reisha la mishum chatzitza. The Mishnah wouldn't say the same din twice. So reisha hainatama. What is the reason why one cannot put one keli into another keli when he has to be tivlet? We're concerned that if one has to immerse needles or pins, he will put it in, and he doesn't want to put it directly into the mikvah, because he's concerned that they'll get lost. He puts it into a vessel, and like that is tivlet, and he may put it into a vessel, but klish aim bepiv kishifaris anoid. That the opening is not as wide as a skin bottle's tube. That's a certain shear, which we'll explain in a moment. And the halach is that such a tefillah would not be acceptable. The Rishash explains, because what's happening is that if it's such a small opening, then the needle is not considered as if it's in the mikveh. It's only considered as if it's in this keli, and you're supposed to be toivel in the mikveh, not in a keli. Rashi learns that in order for the water in the mikveh and the water in the keli to be considered connected, there has to be a large enough opening between these two entities. And if it's a small opening, as we're learning, that doesn't connect them, and it's not considered as if you put it into the mikveh. Kiritnan, as the Mishnah says, erev mikvos, if we want to mingle two mikvos, the opening between the two of them has to be kishveres hanoi. And as we will discuss more in a moment, there are two situations where one wants to do this erev mikvos. One situation is where you have two mikvos, neither has in them the shiv abomso, which we've discussed so many times, is the required shear of a mikvah. Can you combine these two pools to be considered one? And the halach is that if there's an opening the size of a shaferis hanoid connecting these two pools, it's considered one pool. Another example, which is very common in our mikvahs, is if we have a mikvah, a kosher mikvah made gishamim, rainwater, and next to the mikvah of rainwater, we have a bar of mei shuvim, regular water, which, as we know, is certainly not acceptable for a mikvah. And the question is, if we want to connect these two pools, known as hashaka, connecting them, what is the size of the hole that has to be in place to connect these two mikvahs? It has to be the size of a kishveres hanoit. Kritnan, ir mikvahs, if we want to mingle these two mikvahs, we have to have the hole the size of kishveres hanoit. Ka'avyoi, it has to be the size of its thickness. Ukechaloloi, the size of the hole, which is shtei atzpahs chazeres l'mekaymai. It's the size of two fingers that can rotate inside the hole. The Sefer Shem Tzoran Balacha says that it's a circumference of 6 inches. Says the Gemara, what is Rav's explanation of the Mishnah based on? Savala kahod amar Rav Nachman amar Bavua. That acha asamailas shonukan. That our Mishnah speaks about 11 cases and they reflect 11 different categories. So we don't have a repetition like Rav Ela said that we speak about chatzitza twice. And according to Rava, sheish rishonis, the first 6 cases apply bein lekodesh and bein lechulin shenas l'taras lekodesh, as we explained before, because they have a drora of a tumah midaraisa, so we're more stringent, and we apply these stringencies not only to something which is kodesh, but even to chulin shenasa trumas ataras kodesh. Achronis, which are of lesser concern, only apply by kodesh, but not chulin shenasa ataras kodesh. The Turi Evin tells us that, as we learned in the last mission of the previous parak, given that that chatos Mechatas is considered even more stringent than Kodesh. Certainly any of the stringencies mentioned in our Mishnah regarding Kodesh are certainly, or any of the 11 stringencies also apply to Chatas. Our Gemara just taught us the halacha that when one is preparing a mikvah and he has either two mikvahs next to each other, neither having the shear, or he has a situation where he has the pool of Megishamim next to the pool of Mei Shuvim, he has to have a hole the size of a Shveres Hanoid. However, the Paiskim, already begins with the Rishonim, draw a difference between the two examples we gave where we have this hole. One is regarding the requirement that the hole be there all of the time, be open all of the time. The halacha is that if we're connecting a bar of Mei Gishomim to a bar of Mei Shuvim, as long as the hole is there, even if the hole is not just open for one moment, the mitzvah remains kosher and we don't have to keep the hole open the entire time. However, if we have two mikvahs, neither having the right shear, in order to combine the two mikvahs, there the hole has to remain open the entire time. Then we have a machloikis between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, where exactly the hole has to take place. It has to be. Both the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah agree that in the situation where we have two pools of water, neither having in them mem saw, and we want to combine them through Hashaka, through this hole, the size of a Shveres Hanoid, the level of the hole has to be below the level of the water to be an effective Hashaka. However, regarding the example where we have one pool of Mei Shuvim and one pool of Mei Gisham that we want to connect with this hole, there we have a Machlaikas of the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch learns that even if part of the hole is below level, but not below the water level, the whole hole is not below the water level, it's still acceptable to connect the two mikvahs as long as part of the hole is below water level. The Ramah says, on the other hand, that the entire hole has to be below water level. There's another way of making a mikvah kosher, and that's called Zriya. That the halacha is that it's based on the halacha that if one needs to immerse a keli, a vessel full of liquid, as long as the vessel is, if the vessel is immersed in a mikvah, that's called Zriya and it's kosher. And here too we have a machlokes, how much opening must there be for Zriya to take place. The Gedulei Tara holds that in such a case, a hole the size of a Shveres Hanoid is not sufficient. Rather, the entire opening of the vessel must be open for Zriya to take place. The Tori Evan holds that here too, Shveres Hanoid, the hole the size, an opening the size of a Shveres Hanoid is sufficient. And the Dvar Avram and the Meremi Sada say that for the effect Zriya, it's not the same as Hashaka, and any size connection is sufficient.